This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
I need you to stand today and let's honor Nicole Sheremy as she comes up to share the word. Amen.
Good morning. Jude was going to come up here with me. I told the first service that I do usually get to do this with Tyler. We usually tag team off of one another. And so I'm warning you, he's the funny one. Okay. So you're going to have to bear with me this morning. We balance each other out, right? That's why we got married. And so we're excited. I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited to get to continue on in our series about the life of Joseph. But before I do that, I want to thank Pastor Gene and Regina for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. It's absolutely an honor and a privilege and something that I don't take lightly. And so I'm here flying solo. We're going to continue on in the series about Joseph's life from dream to destiny. And we've been looking at how we can get to the destiny that God has for each one of us in our lives. And so we've said that every believer has a dream, which is their calling, right? And we also have a purpose, and that's our destiny. And a lot of people live with a dream, but they don't ever walk into the destiny that God has for them, usually because some sort of character issues prevent that. And so we've been talking about the series of tests that Joseph has had to take and pass in order to be able to walk into the destiny that God has for him. And we've been talking about this series for a hot minute, right? And so I'm here to tell you today, we are talking about Joseph finally stepping into the destiny that God has for him. So if you were waiting on that to come, today's your day, okay? Pastor Gene asked me a couple months ago about teaching as part of this series, and he gave me the list of tests that we would be covering, and when I looked at them, I saw some of them, and I thought, I'm going to let somebody else take that. I saw the prison test. No. I saw the pit test. I saw the purity test, and I thought, I have talked to a lot of young people about purity through the years. I can get awkward quick. So I don't want to talk about that. I need something that's going to garner a lot of amens this morning. And so I chose the power test. And that's what we're talking about today, because we can all get fired up about power, right? We love to talk about how powerful God is and how powerful he's been in our lives. And the truth is, if we admit it, we all like a little bit of power ourselves. And that's okay. I'll tell you, you can see this very evidently in like kids. I mean, from the time they're little, you can see them try to take power over other kids, right? Fight over toys and that kind of thing. We have a four-year-old son. His name's Jude. I think he just walked out because he's tired of being here today. And and then we have a newborn. His name's Wells, and he's only 12 weeks old. And I know there's a day coming when Jude is going to boss Wells around, but we're not quite there yet. But I'll tell you who he bosses around on a daily basis. It's Yeah, me. Exactly. That is so good. He bosses Connor around. So Connor is my three-year-old nephew, and that's Hannah Doug's son. If you see him walking around, they look like they're the same age. Connor is a little bit bigger than Jude. You just don't tell Jude that. And Connor is, bless him, he just does whatever Jude says. And I hate that for him. Last night, I kid you not, last night we're at my dad's house, and we look over, and Connor has both of his legs stuck in a toy. I mean, like, up above his knee. And we had to bring out the Vaseline and, like, try to shimmy that toy down his legs. Really, both of them. He's laying in the floor, screaming, crying. And Doug is like, Connor, why did you do this? And he said, Jude told me to. Of course, Jude told me to. I would do, you know what I mean? I looked over at Jude and I'm thinking, not my sweet baby. He wouldn't. And he's like, poor Connor. So anyway, little kids, I mean, it's innately inside of us to want power, right? You see it in your kids too. And so I'm here to tell you this morning that though the enemy can sometimes make that desire for power seem like a selfish one or a self-centered desire, it's actually a righteous thing. The word tells us in Matthew 20, verse 26, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Well, this is the Lord talking to his disciples, and he's saying, hey, if you want to be great, you just got to serve. He's not reprimanding you and saying you're wrong for wanting to be great. He just says, if you want to be great, here's how you do it. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Well, that tells me that if we desire power for the right reasons, then the Lord actually thinks that that's a good thing. And in Genesis, God starts off by telling Adam that he would have power and he would have dominion over the rest of the earth. And so he meant for us to have power from the beginning. It's okay that we want power ourselves, but it's important how we use the power that we've been given. And that's what we're talking about this morning, the power test, how to steward our God-given authority. So a lot of the tests that we've talked about so far have been our response when something bad happens to us. But today we're going to talk about our response when something good happens to us. I know some of you are like, that's awesome. Give me a test where something good happens to me and see how I respond to that, right? That sounds easy. Well, the pride test is how we respond to the dream, but the power test that we're talking about today is how we respond to the destiny. It's the test of success. And so I know you're like, throw me some success, Nicole. I bet that is a test that I could pass. But I'm telling you that it's harder than you think that it is to pass this test, because when you encounter success or when you encounter God's blessing on your life, with that level of power, with that level of blessing comes responsibility. And responsibility requires character. And so when God blesses believers, then they have to decide how they're going to go about using that power, right? What and where and how are they going to use it? And if they don't have the character necessary to do what God's called them to do with the blessing, then they'll waste it. They'll use it for selfish reasons, and they'll fail the power test. And so it's like if you think about maybe somebody on our parking team, how many of you are very appreciative of our parking team? Today, yeah. I'm telling you, today they had the worst job ever at church, because like, who wants to be out there in those rain jackets with the umbrellas and all that kind of stuff? Today was not the day you want to be on the parking team, okay? But I'll tell you, when I got here early this morning, that Jason Welburn, he greeted me at my car door and walked me and Jude inside so that we could get in without getting wet. That's awesome. Jason deserves a hand clap for that. Yeah. I'm going to pick on Jason for just a second, because I did in the first service, and he said I could in this service too. And so he greeted me this morning, and he's just killing it out there on the parking team, right? He's got a smile. He's diligent to serve. He shows up whenever he's supposed to, rain, hot, cold, whatever it is, right? Jason has a great attitude, and he is a really dedicated servant on the parking team ministry. So Pastor Gene's recognized that, and he says, you know what, Jason? I want to promote you to captain of the parking team. And Jason's like, wow, I'm flattered. That's awesome. I'd love to do that. But next week when we get to church, when we're driving in, Jason is dressed out in like a full uniform with the hat and like a whistle and a bullhorn telling people where to park. He's got like a flashlight as big as a lightsaber directing people around. And you think, what happened to Jason? Well, what happens is Jason got a little bit of power, right? He got a little bit of authority. And rather than using that for the right reasons to do his job out there, he let it go to his head, right? And he's using it for selfish reasons. We can all have that happen to us very easily if we admit that, whether we want to admit it or not. But God spent years of Joseph's life preparing his character to make sure that he was ready to give him the responsibility to rule over Egypt. He had to make sure that he could trust him with the power that God was going to give him. So we're going to talk about Joseph's story this morning. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 41 and in verse 8. So at this point, Joseph is 30 years old. He's been in Egypt for 13 years. And in verses 1 through 7, Pharaoh has just had his two dreams. So we're picking up in Genesis chapter 41, verse 8 this morning, and it says, the next morning, Pharaoh was disturbed by the dreams. So he called for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them his dreams, not one of them could tell him what they meant. Finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. Today, I have been reminded of my failure, he told Pharaoh. So in verses 10 through 13, the cupbearer goes ahead and tells Pharaoh that it's Joseph who can interpret dreams. So we're picking back up in verse 14, and it says, Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison. Notice the word quickly. They bring Joseph quickly from the prison. That means that the power test can come quickly, and you need to be expectant, and you need to know that it's coming. It says, after he shaved and he changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I have heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. It is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. So in the next few verses, Pharaoh goes on to tell Joseph about his dreams. And Joseph does have the ability to interpret those dreams. So pick back up with me in verse 37, and it says, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Even Pharaoh, who's an unbeliever, picks up on the fact that Joseph is so filled with the Spirit of God that he has the favor of God on his life. It says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all of my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on the throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in a chariot reserved for his second in command. And everywhere Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. So let's recap for a second. Joseph wakes up one morning, 30 years old, in a dungeon, in the prison. And I'm sure he didn't wake up that morning thinking, huh, today's the day I'm going to step into my destiny, right? But by the end of that day, he was in the palace. And Pharaoh had promoted him to second in charge of all of Egypt. And so in the blink of an eye, Joseph has literally gone from rags to all the riches and royalty of a king. Hear me today when I tell you that promotion can come quickly. Promotion for you can come in one single day. In a single day, God can change your circumstances. In a single day, he can bless you and change your situation. If you don't believe that, look at Joseph's life. I'll tell you, look at mine and Tyler's life. We have a really good example of that. We're a testament to it. A few years ago, we were both in our former positions, like our older jobs, and we had both been seeking promotion. And so I had applied for a job at Colin, and he had applied for a job at a different workplace. And my boss called me in, the president of the college, on a Friday after, right at lunchtime. And so I go in his office, and he says, hey, Nicole, congratulations. We won't go ahead and give you that promotion. We're going to make you the director of student services, which is what I do today. And I was like, yes. So I called Tyler, get in the car, and I'm like, hey, guess what? I'm the new director. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. You know, meet me at McAllister's. I'll take you to lunch to celebrate. So we meet at McAllister's, and we're sitting down waiting on our food to come. He's talking to me about the job, and his phone rings. My least favorite thing that Tyler does is answer the phone while we're eating, but this turned out to be a good thing. And so he takes the phone call outside to the parking lot, comes back in, and a few minutes later, he's got a big grin on his face, and he's like, you're never going to believe who that was. And I said, who? And he was like, that's the bank. And they were calling asking if I wanted that loan officer position for those small business loans. Okay, in an hour, do you hear me? We both got promotions. The trajectory of our whole family's influence and power and blessing changed in an hour. So if he'll do it for us, he'll absolutely do it for you too. So Joseph, this is his stepping into his destiny, right? Because he's now second in command over Egypt. Now, he hasn't fulfilled his destiny yet. He's just stepping into it. he's still going to have to take tests as he's walking this thing out. And that's what we're talking about this morning, the power test. And so I'm going to unpack three questions about power in the power test for you this morning. We're going to start with number one, and it's, where does power come from? Where does power come from? It says in Psalm 62, verse 11, "One thing God has spoken, and two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God." That's it. You want to know who power comes from? It comes from God. It's His to start out with. It originates from Him. All power belongs to God. Now, if you look in John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11, this is where Jesus has come to stand before Pilate. And the verse tells us that it starts off, "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Now, don't you know that Jesus is standing here looking at Pilate at this point, and he's like, "LOL, you don't have any power over me." If you only knew, right, what was about to happen. But in this scenario, Pilate is the one who holds the power. Pilate is the authority in this situation. Do you understand that? And so Pilate is the leader. But the problem is that Pilate doesn't recognize that his power and that his leadership has come from God in the first place. And so at some point in our lives, we too will be like Pilate. And you might not think that you're leading anything right now, but I'm telling you that we all have the opportunity to have authority and dominion and responsibility over something at some point in our lives, and that's the area that we'll be tested in. And it's our job as leaders, when we have that responsibility, to acknowledge that our power, any responsibility, any authority, any influence we have comes straight from God alone. And it's our job to steward the things that He's given us, the power, the influence that He's given us, accordingly. So our answer to number one was that power comes from God. And it's always His. When we experience any kind of success, any kind of power in our lives, it's just because He gave it to us. Now, number two is, who is power given to? Who is power given to? James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up," or "He will give you power." He will give you authority. You want to know who power is given to? It's given to the humble. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, it tells us how to humble ourselves. "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." God gives power and promotion and influence and responsibility and blessing to the humble. That's it. The humble. We don't have to make it more complicated than it is. And you know, when we first start off at something, we often walk in humility naturally because we're uncomfortable, because we've never done it before, we're not very confident. But it's like the more we, obviously when we're prepping and we're preparing and we're praying, "God bless this, God, make sure that I don't fail right here, make sure that Your hand is on it." And then we actually do the thing and it goes well, and we do it again and it goes well, and God's favor's on us. And so we keep walking in it, we get a little bit more confident, and that's when humility starts to kind of fade. And we think, "You know what, God, I can probably do this one on my own." Oh, right? And then pride creeps in. I know I'm talking to like some holy roly people this morning, so it's probably never happened to you, but it has definitely happened to me, okay? It's definitely something that I have struggled with. And so the less we think we need God, the more our humility fades. But that scripture tells us that, well, one, it tells us in scripture, pride comes before the fall, right? And this scripture is telling us that God resists, He opposes the proud. I don't ever want to be in opposition against what God has. And so We all know somebody who's prideful, right? Like, not yourself, okay? Think about somebody else, right? So, pride is just not one of those attractive qualities. You know, somebody gets a little bit successful and they get arrogant. It's just hard to be around people like that, okay? We have recently entered the world of 3 to 4-year-old youth league sports. And it is as fun and chaotic as it sounds. And Jude plays soccer in the fall, and then he plays t-ball in the spring. But soccer is his jam, right? He's like, yeah. Okay. Tyler played soccer in high school and in college, and he's very quick to remind you that he's the college athlete of the family. And he does spend a lot of time in the front yard practicing soccer with Jude, and they've done that since Jude was like 2, since he could kick a ball. So soccer rolls around, Tyler's the coach, and Doug's helping, and Jude is good. I mean, little Joker's fast. He's little, but he's just fast, okay? And so we're proud of him. I mean, he's out there scoring goals just about every game, and that's awesome. The problem is not that Jude is good. The problem is that he knows he is good. And sometimes on that soccer field, in front of God and everybody, he takes it too far. And so not only does Jude not want the other team to score a goal, he doesn't want his own team members to score the goals either. All goals need to be scored by Jude. And that can be a problem. I'm telling you, this past week, Hannah has a video on her phone, and his teammate scored a goal. He literally laid flat on the ground and cried because it wasn't him. And Tyler's like, he's on your team, man. He's on your team. It's okay. You know, we're trying with Jude, okay? I'm telling you that as soon as this little guy right here scores, as soon as the ball goes through the net to the back of it, hit number one finger in the air, we're taking a full lap around the soccer field to tell everybody that we're number one. He will stop at some point. I'm not exaggerating. You can ask him. They've all seen him. He will stop at some point, literally do a dance, all the stuff that Tyler's told him to celebrate. He has lifted his shirt up and yelled. I'm like, put your shirt down, son. Come on. The problem is it's like every goal that he wants to do this. And so y'all pray for us because we're working on humility in sweet Jude. But we all have those moments, right? Or we can get prideful. On the opposite hand, we all know people who walk in humility. And those are the kind of people that we want to be around because there's something in their character that draws us to them, right? And so I'll tell you, when I think about somebody who's really humble, who's really likable, I think my dad's probably one of the most likable people that I know. And I know you're like, hey, you might be a little biased. Well, yeah, maybe. He didn't pay me to say that this morning. If you ask the people in this room, they'd probably tell you that my dad's pretty likable. So much so that this year, the Chamber of Commerce, the City of McGee elected dad to be, or chose him to be, the Outstanding Citizen of the Year. Well, that's a big deal. And so we went to the Chamber of Commerce banquet in the spring. We're sitting there and the program's going on and Dad doesn't know he's getting this award, but we do. And I'm looking around at everybody in the room. It's full of people. And it's, I told the first service, it's the who's who of the McGee Zoo in there in the best way, right? You know, it's like elected officials and it's formerly elected officials. It's people who have served on all these town committees. They really, truly care about the city of McGee and they've done a lot, you know, to improve it. And so I'm looking around and I think, man, of all these people in this room and the people who aren't in the room, they chose Dad this year. Now, why do you think they did that? Because his character speaks volumes. Because the Lord has blessed my dad tremendously. Okay? I told the first service, it's because, you know, he has all 4 daughters. I mean, come on, what more could you ask for? I'm just kidding. Speaking of pride, you know. He's blessed my dad tremendously. My dad has blessed other people more times than I can count. He has stewarded the influence that he has and the blessing that he has to help other people. He walks in humility. His character is that attracts other people. And so that's why he got that award. It also reminded me that you don't have to have a position of power. You don't have to have that title to have influence. You want to know the most... Yeah, that was good. What does Pastor Gene say? That was better than what you just gave me. You want to know the people that are the most successful people, the most influential, the most responsible people. They're the humble ones. Amen. And so Joseph would have been a prime candidate for pride to enter his life. It said that he was handsome and that he was intelligent. It said he was the favorite son. And yet when Pharaoh asked him about interpreting the dream, he didn't take credit for it. He said, well, God can do that. God can ease your mind. Joseph walked in humility, and God was able to trust him with his power. So when we are humble, God will give us power. That's the answer to number two. And then moving on to number three, what is the purpose of power? Why does power come? Well, Acts 10:38 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Power comes, the purpose of power is to help people. It's to do good. And so if you think about it, like on one side, this is God and all his infinite resources. He has access to everything, right? It's all at his disposal. And then you have a world over here, full of needs, desperately needing the sickness, illness, disease, poverty, injustice, whatever it is, right? So you have God and all of his infinite resources, and then you have a world who needs what God has. And do you know who stands in the middle? Me and you. We do. And do you know that the Lord is just looking for humble servants, for humble stewards, that he can channel all those resources to get it to a world who desperately needs it. And so God wants to bless you so that you can bless others. That's the whole point of power. It's the whole point of blessing and influence, is for you to give that to other people. God didn't give power to Joseph for Joseph's sake so he could just stop right there. He said, there's a famine coming and it's going to be really bad. And if I don't have somebody down there that I can trust to take care of these people, a lot of people are going to die. Yeah. He knew that he could trust Joseph, and the power that he would give Joseph would be given to bless other people with it. Pastor Nolan, you can go ahead and make your way on up this morning. I'll tell you, our church, Pastor Gene told you that I've been here for a little while. And so I've gotten to see all kinds of phases and things happen in our church. And our church has experienced extreme growth in the past few years. And you can look around and tell that, right? The hand of God is here and that he's doing something really special at Church Alive. Well, with church growth comes ministry growth as well. And the ministry that Tyler and I have the privilege of getting to lead is youth ministry. So we're closing out our 7th year. I did the math on it. Can you believe that's been 7 years of youth ministries? It's been a privilege to get to do it. But we have seen the youth group grow tremendously. And I'm telling you this because this is what we have experience with this morning. There was a point in our 7 years where there were 2 youth on a Wednesday night. You know, I'm talking about being humbled real quick, right? But we're averaging like in the 30s on Wednesday nights right now. And I told the first service, that's not like mega church style. And to be fair, we've been hitting these high numbers since Cody and I went home and had a baby. So Tyler and Mason have been like apparently kicking it into gear, and they've been having these numbers in the 30s. But in all honesty, when we have gotten, as we've gotten to this point, it's very easy for me to put it in neutral, because it sort of feels like we finally made it. We don't have just 2 youth. And so we're here and we've made it to this point, and things at our house, you know, we're just in a season of change. You get a newborn and you know, he's not sleeping, and you got one kid going to school, and I went back to work, and Tyler's back at work, and there's just a lot going on in your personal life, and you think, well, if I can put something in neutral like the youth ministry, we can just coast on through till the end of the year. It's going to be okay. We're going to hold at what we've got right now, and it's going to be fine. And Tyler came to me a couple weeks ago, and he said, hey, Nicole, we're going to have to do something with the youth. We got to step outside and just break outside of what we're just doing on Wednesdays. The momentum is too high right now. We can't risk it. We got to step out and make a sacrifice. We're going to have to do this thing on a weekend. Let me tell you, I gave him every excuse in the book of why we didn't need to do it on the weekend. I was like, Tyler, we can't. We just can't. We don't have a babysitter. You know, I gave him all the things. And he looked at me and he was like, we don't have a choice, Nicole. We prayed for this. We prayed for it. It's not about numbers, right? Record numbers are great, but it's about more influence. And if the Lord has blessed us, if we have prayed and the Lord has blessed us and given us more influence, who are we to hold it? It's our job to give it to them. We have been given power and blessing to be able to reach a generation who really needs it. And so we're going to have that weekend thing in a few weeks. And that's good. We need to be good stewards of the moment that we've been given. We need to be good stewards of that momentum, and we don't need to be selfish. So, Tyler, you were right. You hear all these people heard me say that you were right. he's going to record it. That was taking it too far. As I come to a close this morning, I just want to remind you of a few things. Remember that all power comes from God alone. And he's just looking for humble servants, people like you and I, to be able to give his power to, so that we can bless people, so that we can reach people outside of these walls who really need it. And I know that some of you might be thinking, I'm not second in command of Egypt, Nicole. And you might be thinking, I don't have any power at all. I don't have any influence. I'm here to remind you, first thing, you always have influence. You always have power. Somebody's watching you. Somebody needs you. We all have influence. We just have to recognize it. But what I want to ask you this morning is, what are you doing with it? How are you stewarding it? The influence and the power and the success that God's given you, are you stewarding that to do the work that he's called you to do right here, to step into your destiny and walk in it? Are you going to share his love with a lost and dying world through the power that he's given to you? Are you going to walk in humility so that he can channel all those resources through you to help other people, or is it going to stop right here with you? That's the power test. I told you it was harder to pass than you think that it might be. And some of you might be thinking right now, oh, I'm failing that. That is hard. Well, that's okay, because God is all powerful and he can empower you to change. If you'll bow your heads this morning, I'm going to close this out in prayer. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to bring the word this morning. God, thank you for the chance. I don't take it lightly. Lord, thank you for the power that you give us, God. You are all powerful, and we know that everything belongs to you. Everything originates from you, and any success that we've experienced in our life is a direct result of you and what you've given us. And Lord, I pray for the people who can hear me this morning. Some of them might be walking through difficult situations right now, and I'm praying that you remind them first and foremost that you hold all the power And because you are all powerful, nothing is too great for you, and you can take care of whatever they're walking through. Lord, I pray for people who might be dealing with pride, and maybe they've let their guard down and they aren't walking in humility anymore, and that is hindering your ability to use them. God, I pray that they would begin to let that guard back down, that they would ask for your help, that they would seek you, Lord, and that humility would become part of their character again. Lord, I pray for people who feel powerless, who feel like they're the ones with no influence. God, I pray that you would start to do a work in their heart right now, that they begin to recognize that they have influence, that the Lord, that you have given them responsibility, and that there are people right in front of them who desperately need them. And I pray for people who are seeking promotion and success this morning. God, I pray that you give them the patience and the obedience to walk in your will, so that you'll honor their character. Promotion is theirs in Jesus' name. Thank you for all you've done this morning, God. Help us walk this power test out when we have the opportunity to receive your blessing and your success. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive teaching of the week. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.